Welcome back, everybody, to the Overdunk Podcast. This is your favorite Competitive Unite podcast, and my name is Zoinkscast, your host, as usual. And as per usual, we got Bridget on the show, holding it down. Unfortunately, no Deuce next tonight, but that's all right. We have literal back-to-back world champion, the best attacker Luminosity Gaming has ever seen, Shandy God, Intel God, and most recently, Leafeon God above all else. Of course, they won the 2,500 prize pool. Way too long of a tournament name to recite on this podcast. It's Kyrios. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I hope you're riding high on that win. It was a pretty insane tournament win. We're going to be talking a lot about that run. I mean, over 100 teams, like almost 120 teams after last second dropouts and stuff. Kind of wild. It was a very fun event. Very fun. But before we get into all that, Bridget, how have you been doing? How's your week been? How has ranked reset been for you personally? How you been doing out there?
You know, I finished my last season strong. I really only played the past 2 weeks, and then I was an ultra 2 weeks ago, and I got to 1600. So
there you go.
Shout out Wiggly for boosting me. But so far this season, it's been wild out there.
Okay.
So could be neutral.
Better. Okay. Neutral could be better. Sounds good. Kyrios, was LG doing anything like the 5-stack? Race for ranked one, anything like that last night?
No, I don't think our team was really doing too much of that. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually currently Hearthstone Ultra 3.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been trying to play some games, but dude, the game's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Ultra Hell is crazy out there. Okay. It's real. We promise. The game is rough. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you are here. But like we mentioned in that extremely long intro, Kyrios, you had a pretty incredible performance this weekend. You took down your own tournament, which, obviously, rigged event. I think we can all completely agree up to this point. But your team had an absolute sick run. Did you really drop one map the entire, so two maps, I guess, the entire tournament? Am I getting that right?
I think we lost we lost three maps. Yeah, it was, so the first match, the second match, and then the last one against Zenteku.
Okay, got you. So, okay, let's go back to the beginning of this tournament a little bit. Obviously, this is Luminosity Gaming's big push to be hosting tournaments. One of the first organizations, gay esports organizations we've had host a tournament for the scene, which is awesome. It's also a big part of the push to launch the Discord server, the LG Pokemon Unite Discord server, which I think, by and large, everyone can consider a huge success so far, which is so awesome to see. But I want to ask about the actual team. Your roster of five, obviously, it's officially announced at this point, right? You're playing with Jungle Book and Zugrug on the roster now. And you were going into this tournament. Obviously, you started hot. But what were the vibes like before you kicked off this tournament? Has LG been taking the game serious over the last week, months? How's the run-up to this season been going for you guys?
Yeah, so I guess it kind of got, both seasons ended in the same way for us. So
sure.
We kind of just we get back. And people are just trying to take a break, recharge, kind of pursue their own thing for I think a couple months was a pretty solid estimate of how long people are just kind of chilling and doing their own thing, which I think is really good and really important.
Absolutely.
For people to just take their mind off of the game, kind of relax and kind of have a nice time to just enjoy the win. And then I think starting a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, we started kicking it back into more serious gear. We're okay, let's scrim every day now. Let's talk more about what's actually looking good in this patch and how things are going in the meta and stuff like that. So I think for about a couple weeks now, maybe a month, we've been getting back on that grind to really reach the top again. Yeah.
That's awesome. What's all involved in when you say getting back on the grind? Are you scrimming? Are you ranked stacking as five? Are you talking are we in VOD review territory, or are we not quite there yet? What's getting on the grind mean for LG?
Yeah, I think it's mostly just about playing the game.
Sure.
I think the biggest thing for our team, I would probably say, is we're just really, really good at just the game.
Sure.
Our mechanics are just really clean, I think, for I'll say all five of our teammates. Yeah. So it's really just us being on top of that, making sure our mechanics are clean, polished, ready to go. So yeah, it's mostly just like a lot of playing it and just making sure that we're not rusty at all. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, you've played with Jungle Book in the past. In season one, they was with you for some of the season, but then, of course, for the World Championships run. But Zugrog is a new addition, and Jungle Book is, I guess, a friendly face, but is back on the squad. Any coordination kinks to work out? Like, any kind of tough parts about that? Or has it been pretty smooth sailing pretty early? I mean, a tournament win's a good amount of evidence, but other than that, has there been any difficulties incorporating some old familiar faces and a brand new player?
No, I think it's been going pretty well. Zugrog's just a really easy guy, nice guy to work with. So it's been going pretty smoothly so far. And yeah, JB, always, familiar face, as you said. And yeah, he's been really trying to get back in the competitive scene. So it's very easy to convince him, hey, we got a spot. Elo's just, taking a break and trying to focus more on school. Okay. So he's going to be doing his own thing. So yeah, we have another spot open for sure. It's like, yeah, you're down. And he's like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Absolutely. So. Sick. Bridget, how about you? Any questions for LG that involve like the preseason, I guess, if you will?
Not... I just am blown away by the Clefable, man. I did not expect you guys to spam Clefable. I was...
Okay, that's good. Let's transition to the tournament itself, okay? So to set the stage, huge tournament. Luckily, Doomsnax and I were involved with it. We were casting on the Luminosity Gaming channel, and then we had Spraggles and Chris Heroes casting on... their own channels, but the way we planned it out was that at the start of the broadcast, we went on opposite sides of the bracket was like the games that we were going to dedicate ourselves to, just so that we could stay out of each other's way and just cover as many games as we possibly could, which was so hard to do because there were 100 plus teams, a gigantic amount of squads signed up. Obviously, the global nature of the event is going to open itself up to a little bit more of that, but I wasn't expecting that amount of players to show up. However, I guess you should throw a prize pool in front of a scene that hasn't seen that in many, many moons. I guess they're gonna get pretty excited about it. Bridget, was this did you think this was gonna happen for LG's tournament? Did you expect something like 120 teams or even the caliber of competition we had? We saw like peak nouns, a ton of top LATAM teams. Like, I don't know, what were you thinking even before this event even kicked off?
I know there's a lot of tournaments this month leading up to UCS coming in full swing, and knowing that there was actually a paid prize at the end, I did expect it to be pretty competitive because, like you said, that's just not been the case for a while. So it was cool to see, because a lot of, I feel like, bigger teams will skip out on tourneys if there's not really that kind of incentive. So it was cool to see, I mean, pretty much every... or a lot of high caliber teams from like every region. It's been cool to see. I feel like there's been a lot more non-region locked tourneys.
Yeah.
I mean, just this month, I guess.
Unity Clash and LG. Yeah, that's true.
So that's been really cool. And obviously, I think opens up the floodgates a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. To multiple things. to players complaining as well. But, it opens up the floodgates for positive stuff too, I would say. Okay. Cool. Curious, how about you? Same question. Did you expect this amount of success from this tournament, or did that come kind of a surprise to you?
I don't think it came as a surprise at all.
Really?
I mean, it's a pretty big prize pool, the biggest probably so far out of any tournament in the preseason. And it's kind of associated with LG, so like the word is getting out pretty easily, LG posting on socials and everybody kind of spreading it around, so pretty much every team that's kind of interested in Unite will probably have heard of it. So yeah, I'm not too surprised that a lot of people came out. Prize pool right before UCS, people are trying to, like, it's pretty similar to the Rift Rivals, I think was what it was called last year. It's pretty similar to that kind of tournament where, like, it was right before UCS, had money on the line, and then people were trying to, like, show off their new rosters right before UCS. I think it's, like, the biggest thing of this tournament. It's like, hey, look at us. Like, we have this roster right now, and we're ready to, like, go into UCS and really make a show in here.
It's sick. I love... I love that energy. I really like it a lot. I mean, as a person who covers the competitive scene for content, I'm a pretty big fan of that aspect of that aspect of players when they take charge of that. Yeah, we even had team name roster, like, or team name reveals. I know that JL Squad officially announced their new branding and everything, which is always fun. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to see where this goes. Obviously, there's a couple more tournaments to happen throughout the off season still. I know Battle Hub's kind of spinning up. The Open Series is going on right now, and then there's a couple of double elimination prize pool events for them before the end of the season, before the end of January. And then, of course, Unite Mike's the run-up tournament will be happening the weekend before UCS. So I don't will ever hit the same numbers that the LG event did, but there will be a prize pool, and you can support that. What was that? Exclamation mark shirt. Anyway, let's talk about the tournament itself. Why, just, Bridget asked this already, curious, why is no one banning Clefable against your team? What is, what on earth is happening? Or even taking it? Like, they're not even, if they're on second pick, they are passing it over to your team. It was, it just felt so simple. If Jungle Book was not on Clefable, you had a chance to win. If he was, you did not have a chance to win. Am I even remotely close to what your, like, team was thinking around this? Like, I mean, JB's Clefable just looked a little different. Was, do you think that was the key to your success, or was it maybe you on some Leafeon shenanigans?
I think a lot of teams are like, have some differing opinions like the meta. So I think a lot of people are kind of considering like the tanks and the top laners as like the really, really high priorities. Like, of course, you know, if you're kind of familiar with the scene, it's like, a lot of people are really favoring Blastoise and Buzzwole first picks really early on. A lot of people are really favoring the Slowbro, the Umbreon picks really early on too. So that's kind of like where a lot of those people are picking those characters on the one and two picks, right? When they're second pick. But I think people will probably soon realize just how like unbelievably broken Clefable is and how it just kind of works with everything. Like it awesome. Can help your speedsters. It can help your backline. It can stack, it can scale to the late game. It secures like not bad in the early game either. So it's kind of just like that middle ground where it kind of just helps everyone out. I mean, yeah, it's just like its healing is crazy. I think a lot of people also really prioritize like Leafeon or Inteleon. I mean, I think Clefable has answers to both of them. You snipe shot as Inteleon, Clefable heals all of it. You try to go in as Leafeon, you get gravitated. I think it just like has answers to all these really good Pokemon that a lot of people kind of picked over it. So then I don't know. We'll probably see changes in the future. Also, might even see like Clefable being changed or like even nerfed or something like that before UCS starts. There's probably one more patch. So yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. But I mean, yeah, I think the mod is just really, really crazy good. And it just works well with every comp that we had.
Yeah. It's busted. JB1 is also busted. But yeah, that Pokemon was ridiculous. Bridget, what are your thoughts on Clefable right now? I mean, Curios is saying it is like support Pryo pick should be a lot more often in competitive tournaments. Do you share the same opinion?
Yeah, I don't know. I fear Buzzwole a lot. I understand.
Yeah,
it just feels like the snowball is really oppressive and hard to combat. If you lose early, it just kind of sucks when it gets ahead. You could say that about a lot of things. I think I literally said last week I was interested to see how Clefable was used in fives and at a higher tier level, because I hear half people saying it's broken, half people being like it's overrated, like it sucks, it's not that great. So I feel like it was cool seeing it really, really shine and kind of be a pillar, because I was watching Zwinks and Doofsack's cast almost all day, and I think Zwinks brought up like 20 times, like, someone please take the Clefable away.
I was begging. Curious, I don't know if you got to hear any of our cups. I was bashing my head into my desk. Like, I was like, why are you prio picking like Blastoise Inteleon and just giving up Clefable in this draft? I don't understand. It is a crime, I think, with how much you got away with it. But you did, so congratulations. I actually wanted to talk about your tournament run a little bit. Obviously, you were seeded number one in the tournament. It is you are home turf. You know, you got to get that hometown advantage when it comes to an event like this. But because of the size of the event, you still had a lot of teams to go through. We casted your unknown team game It definitely seemed like a really competitive game. We unfortunately had to miss your Viridian game, which I was really sad about, because that was a team comp roster I'm really excited to watch in NA coming up very soon. They seem really, really good. If anyone is unfamiliar with Viridian, it definitely will familiar faces. That is Beast, Savior, Breezy, Barnwell, and Brave Pie's team. And I personally think they are going to be a really strong team in North America, especially given some time. So I am, but anyway, talk to me about like those teams, and then maybe we'll include Hoenn in that list. Sort of the early era of your tournament run. Any of those matches really stand out as like crazy or really difficult, like specific opponents you ran into?
I think we just had a little bit of like, you know, warm up and like really getting into it against the unknown team.
Okay.
And
then
I think, I mean, we're kind of like had that pattern before, right? Like I think in World Season 1, we lost like the very first game against Apprentice Unleashed, and we brought it back 2-1, things like that. Then we managed to like have a good sweep of that tournament. World's 2. we went down 0-1 against Seoul, and then we had to bring it back from there as well. And all these like, you know, close competitive sets at like kind of the start of the tournament. But then
Kyrios admits to throwing game one at Worlds. New podcast title. Love it.
We need to lose at least one game at the start. So like get the losing out of the system. Like, all right, guys, losing kind of sucks.
That is true. You have to remember.
Let's not do that again.
You have to remember.
Let's not do that again. All right. Okay. We're done losing. Let's go. But yeah, kind of like that pattern. But yeah, I mean, Viridian just, we had a really good set against them. Honestly, I can't really say. I think the first game, like we got outplayed a bit, and then they managed to take the first game.
Okay.
And then we kind of like brought it back, played well. I think we had a good understanding of like, I mean, we're all familiar with their players.
Yeah.
So we had a good understanding of how to draft against them. Right. We had a good idea of what they were going to draft. So I think we managed to bring it back with some good
Umbreon, no matter what.
Play against them.
I feel like Barn is like, if I get Umbreon, I'm taking Umbreon. Like that is he is very well known for this Pokemon at this point in time. But yeah.
Yeah. We wanted to play like a lot of mages against them, and we know like Savior is probably going to play a lot of like, attack damage carry Pokemon, like maybe Dragapult or Glaceon. I think he played Glaceon all three games, but
really, okay,
it's like those kind of Pokemon, he's gonna stick to those mons that are just gonna auto attack you a lot. So we pick a lot of long range mages. We pick good frontline to go against like Barnwell and Beast, kind of playing these tanks top lane as well, and then we kind of just like had good draft against them.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, it was a good set. They're definitely a really good team. Definitely looking forward to seeing them compete in UCS, and I'm really glad to get to see more of like Beast. I heard Beast is good. But I don't think I got to see him too much last year. Mm-hmm. And Savior, I don't think I got to see him too much last year. Really glad to see him play. And of course, Barnwell's like one of my closer friends in the United scene too. So it's really cool to see him keep playing. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So yeah, I think Hoenn. I mean, obviously Hoenn, we're very familiar with them from TMB from before, and then now they switched to like. They just call themselves Hoenn, but I mean, they're just a really good squad. With Don Flamingo, or I think that TMB Don Lux, and then it's like Kira, Froy, Texas, all these really, really good players.
And Frank,
I mean, you just gotta outplay them. Like they're a good team. They have good draft. You just gotta outplay them.
Right. When it comes down to it,
you gotta play hard. You gotta play better than them. I mean, they're just a really solid team. And yeah, that's what it comes down to. I think it's just teams like that. We're just like, all right, we just got to play some good Pokemon Unite to beat these guys. Like, I mean, it's like the top teams. You just got to play well.
As a caster, there are a few teams that I have in my mind that I love casting their games for different reasons. Mm-hmm. LG is obviously one of those because you're one of the most competitive teams. You're now one of the most historic teams in the entire scene. But Hoenn is absolutely one of those. Like, when I get to cast, like, Kira, Froy, Dawn games, like, oh my gosh. Like, I will get so, but they're so fun. Also, Don Flamingo or Don Lux, like, one of the most fun names to meme on in a cast ever. The amount of times I say, the Don! <It's>, like, the big Don is so fun. So, I love casting Don Flamingo games. But, yeah, we'll talk about the rest of your tournament run in just a second, but I wanted to give Bridget, you the chance. I mean, you said you were watching basically all day. Were there any teams or matches in particular you really enjoyed of that tournament? If you were telling a newer viewer what to go back and rewatch, is there any specific moments throughout the tournament they're like, you gotta see that set, it was so good?
Not like I can't remember.
It's like a long tournament and games. It was a blur. That's okay.
I should have taken notes, but I obviously watch the LG stream a lot, and I feel like you guys covered, I feel like, LG's entire run.
Okay,
so that's
which
pretty much
I have a little behind the curtain. We didn't even technically try to. It's just we wanted to, the first Luminosity game we wanted to cover, we definitely did. But yeah, like, because of that, and then there was like a couple throughout the tournament bracket, there was a few delays that it just sort of forced us into that end of the bracket being the only one we could grab. Of course, I was like, well, we missed one of their games, but it's so funny that we missed the like Lights Out game. I would have been like to see that one. But yeah, but we just covered Luminosity for the rest of the time, but that's okay.
But I would say some of Luminosity's, I mean, a lot of Luminosity's draft, I was really impressed by, like, Aegislash.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Curious. Like, you wanna talk about Aegislash at all here, Curious? Why is Overlord pulling the sword back out? What is happening?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the way a lot of the comps go when you draft, it's mostly, like, we want to be really specific, like, okay, let's pick, like, you know, let's pick Clef and like last year, let's be really specific with these mons. But like once it gets to like later parts of the draft, I think for Overlord and I, it's mostly just like we're just gonna pick what we want. To be honest, we're gonna look at their comp, and then we're pretty late in the draft. We're usually fourth and fifth pick, so then we're just like we look at the team comp, how it's going for us, how it's going for them, and then we pick the best mon we think in our role. I mean, yeah, he just like thinks that Aegislash is gonna be good there. It's mostly because like a mod that can eat up a lot of CC and not just get like permanently, you know, locked down when it goes in. Wygarth's a really, really good tool for that. And then being able to just have a really good secure and being able to do really good against, I think he's very good against every Eevee. So it's going to be very good against an Espeon, a Sylveon, an Glaceon, Leafeon. And it's probably just good against all four of them. Yeah. So if they pick a lot of like Leafeon plus Glaceon, Aegislash is going to one-shot Leafeon. It's going to one-shot Glaceon. And it can eat up all his moves. Like, you know, Leafeon Solar Blade, Wideguard.
Yeah.
Glaceon Icicle Spear, Wideguard. So it's a pretty good answer for those.
Okay.
And yeah,
that's
I think it worked out
answer.
Like decently well.
I mean, that makes sense. But obviously it was because I was doing my mono ghost runs on my stream and he saw those.
Yeah, of course.
Really wanted to play the Aegislash. Yeah. So, I mean, we all know that's the real answer. But okay. No, I think the technical anti-EV sword does make sense there. I like that a lot. Yeah. Also, Curious, he stole Chandelure from you. I shed many tears thinking about the fact that you don't get to play Chandelure anymore. What is this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely lost its life in the bot lane, I think. That's kind of the issue with it.
Its
laning phase has always been bad. But it's honestly, if I had to give like a tank rating, like I'll probably be like, Umbreon is probably like, one of the best. But I think like Crustle and Tree are really rising up.
Okay.
And then kind of the issues with both of those tanks is that their laning phase isn't that good. So then I'm often like going to I'm getting to my point in the draft. I'm like, okay, I need to do something that kind of wins lane. So then Candle's just never an option. So unfortunately, the Candle may or may not be vaulted from the bot lane.
If he just Nightshade into boosted, oh no. I want it to work so bad. Mostly because I just hate playing jungle. I just get so stressed out. But yeah, I think you're right. I think its days might be done. Bridget, any more comp questions? Or like, you know, composition questions for Kyrios on their run?
I don't think so. The Meowscarada was fun too.
Oh,
I feel like those were two things I didn't really see any other teams like do. Yeah. So it's like stood out to
because
me.
We forced you to watch LGL tournament. But Meowscarada to me, Curious, you don't have to answer this. Meowscarada felt very much like Overlord. Like I can win this game. You know, no matter, I'm gonna win this game. That's mostly what it felt like whenever that Pokemon was locked in. The, like, skill expression on Meowscarada is really sick. And, again, if you want to just eat up Glaceon shards, Meowscarada doubles pretty sick for that. Like, that is a crazy synergy I never thought about. So, it was really cool to see in an actual competitive environment.
Yeah, it has a good matchup to, like, the Eevees, which are just really, really popular right now, for sure. Yeah. Every Eevee is just, I think every Eevee made an appearance in that tournament.
Absolutely.
Relatively often too. Sylve, Espeon, of course, Glaceon, Leafeon, but even the Sylve and the Espeon were coming out.
Shout out Sylve. Okay. let's talk about the latter half of your tournament run then. You went through, you started 2-0 at everybody here. You 2-0'd Nouns. You 2-0'd, okay, I don't know if other competitive
dashes.
So I just call them Dash Dash, which is a not so subtle nod to the younger boy from Incredibles. But I don't know what else to call this team. I don't know if someone has like a good name, but I mentioned it on cast. Wonder Chef said this best because they used to call themselves Draft and Ranked when they entered tournaments, but they got their wish. So I guess they just had to take out their name. So, but anyway, you took down Dash Dash, you took down Nouns, and you took down Enteku. Enteku was a 3-1. It was a, of course, the best of five. You had a one game up advantage, so essentially you won that match 2-1. But how about these games between Nouns, Dash Dash, and Enteku? Any specific matches stand out more than the rest?
I guess we were like relatively confident in all these matches, to be honest. I think like these are like the teams that we kind of like get to know more often.
Right.
Enteku was kind of like a kind of newer team. Well, not like newer players, but like, you know, newer collection of five people. I actually didn't know like any Sus was playing with like Arimaki and like Marfer and those other people. I was not too familiar with like their support and their tank player. I think
I was not familiar with their game.
But obviously they proved to be really good. And so definitely exciting to see that. So yeah, I wasn't too familiar with that team. But yeah, like Nouns and Dash Dash. I mean, we played Dash Dash in the previous tournament that we played. I think it was I think it was another Battle Hub or something like that.
Okay, where we
played them in the grand finals. We played them in winter finals, and then we lost to them in winter finals, and then we came back and managed to beat them in grand finals. Sick. So yeah, we're really familiar with all those teams. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, again, these teams are just like, you know, you got to outplay them. They have, you know, really good. They have good players. They have good drafting. Yeah. I think what worked really well, I think maybe it was a little surprising. I think I watched a bit of Spragles and Chris. When playing against Nouns, it's like we played Leafeon and we played Miascrata, and they're like, well, yo, what's happening? Like, what? Why do they have two speedsters? They have no range characters. But then what they kind of, in my opinion, didn't really see too well was that, like, Miascrata kind of does really good against both the Slowbro and like, the Blissey kind of picks, where it, like, baits out a bunch of their abilities. Blissey ults a little bit too early, then it can get caught and die in the Ray fight like it did in those games.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leafeon bot, like, that's where Leafeon bot started to do really well, because I know, you know, Toon really likes Inteleon. And probably, like, want to pick it up as often as he can.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leafeon bot's a really good answer, because it can match his laning. It does really good against in the mid-late game fights. You just look for it. One shot with the ult, Solar Blade is gone.
Right.
And it can stack really well, which is another one of Inteleon's weaknesses. It can't really stop stacking. It's a press, like, being able to hurt people a lot while they stack is not very effective. So that's why, like, Leafeon just, like, probably one of those best on paper counters. So
you could just stack.
That's when I really started playing.
That makes sense.
Exactly, yeah. And then you just hit four, and then the lane's over. So, I mean, yeah, that's, like, a lot of our ideas from draft really came out from there. So, yeah, it was good. Yeah.
How do you feel about Venu into Intel lane?
Yeah, I mean, Intel lane is definitely much better than Venusaur, but I mean, Venusaur isn't really beating other people in lane, to be honest.
That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, you're kind of like pairing it with another defender that can kind of carry it. Lax does good, Slowbro has good smite, things like that. Venu does okay with those laners.
Yeah, that makes sense. You actually brought Venusaur to this tournament as well. You actually, you and Overlord get to play whatever you'd like. Jungle Book and Clefable Jail. Everybody else gets the variety. You were playing a little bit of the Hyper Tank Venusaur, the Petal Drain build. We haven't seen that in a long time. Was that just a throwback? You wanted the nostalgia? What was going on with that pick?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, for me, I mean, I don't know why people aren't playing it.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's one of my most familiar Pokemon because I played it a ton in the, you know, ranked before UCS even got announced. Like, I played a ton of ranked. It was really good back then. But then, yeah, even then during UCS season, I think UCS season one, Petal Dynasty Venusaur was really good.
Okay.
And yeah, obviously one of my most familiar Pokemon, but I mean, yeah, it just does really good against tanks, really good against frontliners. And I feel like that's kind of the meta right now. You have like one hyper carry, two hyper carry, the Intel sniping in the back, Delphox, Guardi in the back, three tanks, just Blastoise, Umbreon, Buzzwole, like Slowbro, just three tanks. So I mean, like every game, just like, Petal Vita's looking pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, they just can't kill me. It's insane.
I mean, there's just three tanks to kind of just Giga Drain off of. I mean, it's going to be pretty good. Like, it's never really going to be that bad. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it just works really well. And yeah, I honestly am surprised a lot of people aren't really playing it, to be honest. I think more people probably should play it. And its laning is definitely like a little iffy, but I think if you work it out and play it enough, then you can kind of like struggle through laning phase. But then, I mean, you hit 13 for 14 for Ray, you're going to be a monster.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough sell, even from you, but I guess if you can't hit 13, 14 to be immortal, maybe it's a good spot. Bridget, how about you? Is there any picks like Petal Drain Venue, not just Pokemon pick, but even like weird move set that you think is criminally underplayed in tournaments right now?
Good question. I feel like I saw a lot of variety. I'm not really sure what else. I would want to see, or I think would make sense as far as like move sets. Petal Giga Drain is a good one though, because it's not really changed that much. I just feel like Beam got really popular, so that's been more common.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, Poke comps were just really, really strong for so long. I feel like they got a little bit weaker with the tunes to Mew, but Glaceon kind of just fills that same role. One Pokemon that I think is criminally underplayed, which feels weird when I have an LG member on this podcast, is Comfey. I feel like Comfey is not nearly utilized enough in competitive play from what I'm seeing. It's like basically only if you get Dodrio are people willing to play this Pokemon. But so that's my vouch for why I'm not seeing it as much. But how about you, Kyrios? Anything other than the ones that we've mentioned that you think is very strange that it's not seeing some more light? Not even like weird reveals or anything like that, but anything you're surprised is not being played more often.
I think so. Everything's pretty like well played in the tournaments. Like Candle, I think has been up and coming for a bit. I think people didn't really play as often. A lot of people favor the Gardevoir, but people are starting to see like, dang, Candle is I think the number one advantage of Candle over Gardevoir is like it's good at living. Like it's shield from its Unite move and then making sure everyone's invisible. I mean, so pretty good. Much is like really, really good in a lot of these fights. And it can really help people just like panic and make some mistakes in a really high pressure environment. So I think it had a really good success rate in tournament because of that.
I love that that's how you described it, Kyrios, because the way Overlord played Candle is different than any other mage-style player I have seen play it before. Like, the way he was aggro-alting with Candle, like, he was frontlining with Candle to make sure that he's getting the, like, invis debuff on as many enemies as he possibly can. I think it just takes a team as good as you all and a player, let's call it, as confident as Overlord is to make those kind of plays and kind of find that potential. Because I really have not seen not that many players, at least up to my knowledge, that have been pulling stuff off like that. So that's really, really cool. Fun to see it.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But and also Flamethrower was so freaking fun. I love that move.
It's but, awesome. Yeah, both movesets are really good. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think people don't realize like on the other side of Candle ults, like you're not gonna try to fight anyone or try to like kill the Candle. It's just too scary. You can't even see anything, so you're just trying to run away the whole time.
It's just too scary. I can't be here, man. I gotta get out of here. I can't do this.
To be honest, you're just panicking.
That makes sense. Okay, well, final question about your tournament run, because we've talked about it quite a bit up until this point, but let's talk about Anteku. Obviously, you played them in the grand finals, but where we started kind of catching them on broadcast were some of the sets that I was going to shout out as some of the most exciting. But Anteku went down to the loser's bracket and went on what I'm going to call the NA murderer's row of a loser's bracket run. Like, Anteku went down and they took down Alter Ego. Alter Ego, a team that I'm very high on, was really excited to see a lot from them. Of course, it's JL and Kratos and like Machizel, their whole new team. Anteku takes them down. This is loser's bracket, of course, so it's best of ones. It's tough to take these matches too seriously, but still, they took them down. Followed up immediately by taking out Nemesis, another team I'm really excited about. Rex basically getting the gang back together. Very fun. Very fun narrative around that squad. Anytime we get to see Trainer and Yifan popping off, I'll take. But Anteku takes them down. And then we go out of NA, admittedly. They take down Nouns after that. And then they take down Hoenn. And they take down Dash Dash. So, like, literally so many incredible teams. Like, best team in EU. Two of the best teams in LATAM. like, not even close, in my opinion. Those two teams kind of rule LATAM, as far as I'm concerned. At least LATAM North. Take down two extremely strong squads. A lot of people would argue for top four in NA. And then they make it look competitive, at the very least, in grand finals against the best in NA. And, of course, the world hold the title two times in a row. So, what's going on with this team? I mean, yeah, you weren't familiar with their game. Kyrios, any specific thing that you think really makes Enteku strong? Any specific players, anything they do in the game? What do you think makes them really talented and really good?
I think a lot of people have been definitely hyping up Anisus.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people calling him like the god of top lane. Okay. I think like they had like a tier list, I think, in LATAM, and Anisus is like number one.
Sick.
In the top lane for LATAM, for sure.
Cool.
So, a lot of people, I've played with him, I've played against him. Definitely a really good player, definitely a scary guy, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely probably, like, the most well-known player on their team.
Yeah.
And Arimaki, obviously a world's contender, mm-hmm. strong jungler, and he's been around the scene for a while. So, they have really good damage dealer characters who just, like, yeah, I mean, they just have a lot of history in competitive, and they've done really, really well so far. Cool. I'm actually not familiar with their attacker, but of course, they were impressive as well, like GG Jar.
I just take for calling them really Jar, well. I think. For
yeah,
the
Jar.
Tournament.
Yeah,
but yeah, Jar was really good.
Yeah, they were really looking really good. Mm-hmm. I've seen them on ladder playing like the mages, but of course, they had a good Leafy on bot as well.
They made Guardi look unbelievably strong. They kind of reminded everybody, I think, how good Guardi was. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe that hasn't seen as much play this tournament. Shout out to Marfer for being easily one of the most fun gamer names to say on a broadcast. Marfer is absolutely awesome. But they were also sick. It was really fun to see. Also, fun to see that this team was willing to take away Clefable from you guys in draft. So, shout out to Enteku. That's my kryptonite I thought they had. But Bridget, were you able to catch the grand finals or any games that Enteku had throughout the bracket?
Yeah, I definitely saw some of the losers run games they had where they were just like you said, like on a 7-game win streak going into grands, and then I did watch most of the best of 5 games. Okay. But yeah, they put up a good fight. I think I actually missed the game that they won. Maybe that was the one I was doing laundry, but
I gotcha. So they're like garbage in your mind, like this team sucks.
No, I just don't. I know of Anisus, but they had a different name.
They were going by one trick top in the tournament. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Dupesnax is not here, so I guess we won't get the rant about changing your names. Dude, my favorite was okay. Side story that kind of relates to this. Enteku, a few of their players, I mean Anisus in particular, but a few players have been having crazy good runs in Underdunk, the like weeknight tournament that happens for NA and LATAM North that we cover on the Unite Mics broadcast. So I've been really familiar with a lot of their players, and they are like sick. They don't play with that full roster of 5 that we've seen, but I did message Anisus, and he did say that this is the roster of 5 they're planning on playing in UCS. So very excited to see them locked in. They are looking really good. But last Underdunk was one of the greatest rants that I've ever seen Dupesnax have on these names. And the player in question was messaging me at the same time apologizing in Discord. I tell Dupesnax, I'm sorry. I'm like, I feel so bad right now. But hey, just stop changing your name. Anyway, that's the easy answer.
They had to hear it.
They had to hear it. Yeah, we can't have this discussion. This is every episode of this podcast at this moment. We can't have it again. But yeah. But anyway, I think that'll bring us to the end of the discussion on Luminosity's huge tournament event. I honestly think the best parts about it were just curious what you said. Just getting to see a lot of these teams debuting their rosters for the first time. We kind of got to see the best. I think we clearly got to see the best in LATAM. I feel like North American had a bit of an underperformance, but maybe we just didn't get to cash as many games as we wanted to. I mean, obviously, North America won, but not seeing a second North American team in top four hurt a little bit. But down to esports, it was really cool to see them succeed and do really well, but also cool to see them struggle, to start to kind of see the weaknesses that maybe this new Nouns esports roster is starting to have. One of those maybe being Ping, but whatever, I'm not gonna give that to them. One of those options. So I'm excited to see how the rest of the tournaments go throughout the month, because we're definitely gonna have more options. But I think we should move on past this huge tournament. I had another, we wanted to talk a little bit about the current metagame, but I feel like we discussed that quite a bit throughout the podcast. However, Bridget, do you think, is there anything else in terms of meta comp, like Pokemon that's taking over, anything like that, that you think is worthy that we should talk about or question or ask curious while he's here?
I feel like we covered it.
Yeah, we did.
Leafeon's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Leafeon.
My analysis
is insane. Leafeon is so strong. Fun to see. It genuinely feels like you can play it in any lane or in central. Like it's really good across the board. Oh, I like this question from chat. Beamer wondering, do you think that Dragapult will be meta? Curious. It's a Pokemon we didn't get to see on broadcast very much, but I have seen people picking it up in tournament. How do you feel about Dragapult right now?
The Mon is definitely like a lot more solo queue based because
Ladder Demon.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people kind of just like are not able to keep track of when a Dragapult can like be invisible and like walk around in your lane and be able to catch you by surprise. That's probably like where people see it do the best, where it's getting a bunch of KOs, is snowballing really hard, it's getting its stacks on its Phantom Force, and it's looking really, really scary. So when it comes to competitive, I don't think it'll be like nearly as viable as people probably see like it dominating in solo queue or trio queue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think its biggest weaknesses are pretty similar to like Cinderace, Greninja. Decidueye is a little bit different because it's more like that sniper.
Yes.
You probably don't see like Razor Leaf, but it's like a pretty good sniper. But like the other ADC characters are like not very meta right now. Pretty similar because like the mages are just like outputting even more damage than the ADCs in my opinion, and are just bonkers. Absolutely shredding the tanks, like the Gardevoirs, the Delphoxes, even like the Chandeliers, like Inteleon is doing really good at sniping the backline. Glaceon is shredding frontliners. Like all these characters are just doing really good, and so Dragapult kind of like having to auto attack a bunch of times and needing time to ramp up, you know, getting his passive up, getting a lot of KOs to get Phantom Force. It's just like, it's pretty hard to get, I think, competitive. So I don't know if I'll see it too often. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Honestly, if I had to say one thing about Dragapult,
yeah,
I would really want to see more people playing Dragon Dance. I think that would be really interesting. And it could be honestly a sleeper kind of, not like a direct counter, but a really good way to maybe outplay like certain speedsters, even like certain tanks. If you can just like be able to get one good KO with a Dragon Dance, Dragapult in a big team fight, it could just dominate the entire fight.
Yeah.
But Phantom Force has just been really popular. But yeah, I don't know. I think Dragon Dance could be really cool.
That'd be sick. I'd love to see some more Dragon Dance. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, well, cool. Thank you for dropping the lore on Dragapult. I really do hope we get to see a little bit more. I love that Pokemon in particular. But we're going to keep the topic on Pokemon and their balance and things like that as we move into our final segment of the evening. And this is a little game that I like to call, I think I called it Rework, Tweak, or Freeze. And this is, of course, similar to the or Marry, Kill minigame that people like to play. But I'm going to present to you a different Pokemon each time, and I want you to tell me if you think that this Pokemon should be reworked and completely changed. Wife really wanted pretzels. Reworked and completely changed.
<So valid.
laughs> Yeah, exactly. Or if you think it just needs a slight tweak in the game, or if you think you should freeze it. If it stayed in the state it is right now until the end of time, it would be fantastic if they never touched this Pokemon again. So I think this will be kind of fun. So let's start this off. We're gonna hit some like lesser known Pokemon a little bit more often, but curious, I'll start with you. Tyranitar. Rework, tweak, or freeze?
That's a rework.
Yeah. Rework. Okay. Why do you need to rework T-Tar?
It's just a mon where like you need so much experience and you need so much things to be played around you, and then it gets to level 9 and it just isn't as oppressive as it really should be. Wow. Like Tyranitar needs to be like terrifying at level 9. He needs to be like just destroying everything. But it's like, I think his Unite move is so lackluster.
Yeah.
Like I think Garchomp is like, seeing Garchomp level 9, I'm like, oh god, like I need a backup. if he dodge my team with his Unite move, he'll kill everyone.
Okay.
Kai Ranch, I'm like, I'm just gonna walk this guy. Like he's too slow. Like he can't do anything to me. He ults, I'm just gonna run away and he can't catch me. I think that's like a lot of the things I would think if I play against Tyranitar. So yeah, he's like different Unite move, like maybe even like evolve at a different level or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like be able to get like different movesets so that it can actually be useful level 5.
Yeah, it needs level 9. Like,
so yeah, fast. I think Pupitar needs some help.
Yeah. Level 5 to level 9 is just like, this is not a character.
Like, it really is not even at level 9 though. You're absolutely right. I feel like it needs like 10 or 11. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm worried about this Tyranitar.
Yeah, it needs like the Ancient Power plus, Sandtomb plus. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, Bridget, let's go to you on the next one. Let's choose a more maybe middle of the road in terms of... How about this one for Bridget? Mr. Mime, reword, tweak, or freeze?
So tweak, I kind of got distracted by the pretzels when you were explaining.
Sure.
What things were. So rework is like a full rework. Is tweak just like a small, like a
yeah, and we're kind of, and like, it's just to fit it in this like concept, rework also could mean like it needs drastic buffs or nerfs, like something along those lines.
Okay.
But it could also just be reworking the concept of the Pokemon as well. Mr. Mime, notably, the only Pokemon in the game who has received a rework so far. So, but yeah, Mr. Mime, rework, tweak, or nerf? Or, sorry, or freeze?
I am a little torn, because I feel like, did we see, I don't know if we actually saw a Mime in tournament, I could be making that up.
Yeah, no, Brov played it.
Brov definitely played it.
Apparently it was a misclick, though. He was in my chat, and apparently the Mime was a misclick, but then it kind of worked fine? I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Knowing that, I would say a tweak. I feel like it could use...
Ooh, up or down?
I'm not exactly... Oh, I would say more.
More. Okay, give the
Mime
some more.
Yeah, I just feel like the kind of like supports as tanks got like pretty power crept by the actual tanks in the game. And so now Wiggly has kind of gotten some life breathed into it. It saw some tank play, which was pretty fun. I don't know if it did like amazingly well, but it was cool to see it again. And I feel like I would like to see Mime a little more.
Okay. Okay.
Viable again. I don't know.
Some adjustments to Mime. That's fair.
Yeah.
Curious. Let's hit you with another one. How about Pikachu?
Yeah, that's probably like another tweak. Yeah. I think it would help if it got buffed a little bit.
Okay.
Where
would you want to what area would you want to buff Pikachu in?
Yeah,
I guess
like
okay.
The idea,
like its Unite move comes insanely fast. What are we feeling that Pikachu needs some help in? What area?
I think it needs to be like a mon that really can snowball if it's like out of control. So like,
okay,
it's a mon that does not evolve and it's mostly played like in the laning phase, and it has a Unite move that's, you know, used pretty often, but it's never like a mon that's going to be carrying in the late game or anything like that, right? So I would say, like, if you want to compare it to something, you probably compare it to like maybe like a Leafeon, maybe even like a Mr. Mime, or even like maybe like another Eevee or something like that, where it's doing pretty good in the early game, mid game, but it's kind of falling off in the late game.
Yeah,
I think that's okay for like the Leafeon or the Sylveon or Espeon, like those mons are still useful later on.
Yeah,
but Pikachu is like, I think it just tickles in the late game. I don't know, like it, unless you like just land a combo on somebody who's like even or lower level than you, like it's just not doing that much, and it gets one shot, very squishy, and its range just isn't that crazy. So I don't know. I guess I'll maybe make like Thunderbolt range like a little bit further, like its ability to stun people kind of far.
Yeah,
and really be like a backline threat, because I think that's what Pikachu is good for. It's like you look for their backline, you manage to stun them, combo, and you try to one-shot them if you're Unite move. Okay. It's like having that threat be real would be pretty helpful for Pikachu. Just straight up like this Unite move does like some more damage, maybe some more Thunderbolts, so that like it really is threatening whenever he gets Unite move. Kind of like Leafeon. Like every time you see Leafeon with Unite move, it's like, oh, I'm going to get one-shot, I need to be careful. It's like that I don't get that feeling from Pikachu at all, so... Maybe try to get that direction, yeah.
You know what I think would be a cool change for Pikachu is, I don't know if we have this in the game. We have true damage in the game, which deals damage below shields. I think Pikachu would be a cool candidate for a Pokemon that does more damage to shields. I think that would be interesting to like to be like a shield buster in terms of Pikachu. Like that, it doesn't get that damage amp on natural HP, but on shielded targets, it just gets a little bit more. I just feel like it would make it more viable in niche cases. I'm like, oh, double defender team? Pikachu's really, really good at tank busting now. Like that, I feel like would be an interesting. I feel like that could be an interesting change on a lot of Pokemon, but I just feel like it makes sense in my mind on Pikachu because it's electric type or something. I don't know. But personally, I think that would be kind of a. Maybe that's a future Pokemon concept in general. Like it's the. Maybe, that's their shtick that they do more damage to shields, but.
That's definitely really interesting. Yeah, I mean. There's things like that in League of Legends where like you can buy a certain item and then like you hit someone with a shield, not only just like shred the shield, but like it'll do more damage to them if they have been affected by a shield recently.
Okay.
So then people trying to be like, honestly, I guess it wouldn't be like that crazy in this meta. This meta is like a lot of just healing, like Hoopa, Clef.
Bye-bye, Krussel. But, like, but other than that,
But yeah, it's like Umbreon's like the most recent Pokemon where like it actually affects shields directly.
Yeah.
And then benefits off of those shields. So that, yeah, definitely more designs like that where they're paying more attention to shielding. Maybe even like Delphox ult where it cuts healing. I think definitely looking at healing and shielding and trying to maybe look at future Pokemon like that or even like buff Pokemon to affect those kind of things would be really, really cool for
It'd be awesome. Yeah, they definitely... that's one thing we got to give credit to this game, like for it's a pretty big roster at this point, but in consideration of a lot of other MOBAs it is rather small. They have hit a lot of very unique concepts in the game, and like, and with the release of Gyarados coming out, it is another play on what is a very unique part of Pokemon Unite compared to every other MOBA, as we have evolution as a part of our game, which no other MOBA really has. Maybe has to deal with depending on what Pokemon you're playing. But Magikarp and Gyarados literally uses the gimmick of the game as the gimmick of the Pokemon, which I think is pretty clever. Okay, Bridget, let's get you another one. Maybe we'll get you one more. And then maybe if someone's got one for me, we can throw it towards me too. This is one I am curious about, and I feel like could be a candidate in literally all three ways. Cramorant. Rework, tweak, or freeze.
That one is hard because I don't feel like Cram is very bad, but it definitely is not like popular.
Yeah. So let me give the context for why I even asked this question at all. So Steve, who runs the Super Effective podcast, it's like by far the most popular Pokemon podcast that I know of. I got the chance to guest on their podcast one time to talk about Unite, and Steve is a diehard Cramorant fan. Like that is by far his favorite Pokemon, and when he played Unite was when Cram was good. So he was like, yeah, I'm gonna play this game. And so I most recently tweeted out like the poker stats of how Clefable was just dominating the tournament, and he responded, no Cram on the list. And I was like, it's not even bad, but it's just not being played. I don't really know how else to describe it. So how, Bridget, what are you gonna take when you look at Cramorant? Rework, tweak, or freeze?
It's so hard because its movesets are super different too, which is really cool. Like, I mean, the mage build I feel like catches people off guard because no one plays it, so I feel like people are just generally like don't know that it's like an option. And dive is really sick, but and it actually has like I just checked United P, it actually has a pretty good, it's like a top 10 win rate on ladder right now. Like it's like not doing it's probably all the Cram mains, probably like the last picked mon, but it's really not doing bad. I don't know, I could see it getting a rework though. I'm not Curious probably has a smarter answer to this than I do, but I'm not sure what it needs, but I think...
So before Kyrios gives their intelligent answer, let me throw in, if this question was asked to me for Cram, I would say rework, because I hate how Cram's Unite move does not synergize with the rest of their kit. And, like, mechanically, I just feel like it doesn't fit. Like, Dive Air Slash, I'm trying to get in, get out. Like, that's the whole game. Cram's Unite, you sit there like a little turret and you fire off. Like, that's all you're doing. The other side of the kit is all focused on crowd control and tons of stuns, which your Unite doesn't do, and you can't cast those while using your Unite move either. It just feels really, like, anti what the Pokemon's all about. Like, it's like I'm either focusing on stunning multiple targets, being like kind of a crowd control mage, or I'm being an assassin, and my Unite move is all of a sudden I have to act like an ADC. That sucks. So I personally feel like its Unite move just doesn't make sense, and so that's why I think Cram should be deserving of a rework. But Curios, how about you? Now we're asking everyone on Cram. Cram's a hot topic tonight.
I don't have a good answer. So.
Curios, rework, freeze, or tweak on Cramorant?
Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, it's definitely probably the tough, most tough one so far. Yeah, Cram is just like, it's never been like the most popular mon. It's never been the worst mon. But yeah, I can kind of see your point definitely about like its role is weird, where like yeah, you're diving in, you're doing damage like a melee range, but you're playing a ranged character the entire time. The other one is like you're playing like a ranged spellcaster that works around crowd control, but like it's very hard to land the hurricane.
It's such a small hitbox. It's like the smallest hitbox done in the game.
It's really hard. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's so tricky to make the mon work, and it seems like there's always better options than the Cramorant.
And but then at the same time, if you say freeze, I feel like people who like Cram wouldn't be upset. Like, I feel like this is a Pokemon where you could leave it in this state. And it's good, and it, like, would make sense, which is just, like, such a bizarre, I don't know, Cram lives in this dream state, I feel like. But anyway, Curious, I cut you off. What were you saying?
Oh, no, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, all over the place. So, yeah, I would not mind, honestly, like, a Cramorant rework, where it's, like, a lot of people kind of just see Cram, and they're just like, oh, that's kind of like a meme pick. Like, oh, Cramorant, that's kind of funny, huh? And it's like, it would be cool to see, like, a little more respect on Cramorant. Okay. And, make it look like a little bit different with his moveset, because like his Unite move is really good, really strong, has a fast recharge too. Yeah, but it's just like you kind of just like use it unexpectedly, and there are like a good amount of counters to it too.
Yeah,
so it would be cool to
Grin
see
smoke
it
screen
get changed.
I've had that interaction before. It's a crime.
Yeah,
it hurts. You know what I would love? Okay, a change to Cramorant's Unite move. We lower the damage. That is the first step. We have to lower the damage, but you don't have to, like, it just auto-shoots the attacks for you, like it auto-targets or whatever, but you're allowed to cast your other moves while doing it. So, like Surf. So, like, if they are in your AoE, you, like, keep them in, you know?
Yeah.
Keep them in the blender. If you can land the stuns, that'd be pretty fun.
Could you dive?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're a dive sentry turret. That sounds awesome. I'm super into it.
I'm down.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, sick. All right. Does anyone, we probably have time for one more. Does anyone have one they want to toss to me, Bridget of Curios, a Pokemon that you want my opinion on?
Let me look at a list, unless Curios has one.
Not one on the top of my head.
Yeah, that's okay. I feel like we hit a lot of the really strange ones. I think we could do this conversation about Wigglytuff before. We would all say rework. But now it feels like a more realistic spot. It seems fine.
Yeah, so I think I have one.
Okay.
What about Dragonite?
Ooh. No. Okay. Dragonite. I feel like Duraludon and Dragonite are interesting spots. Dragonite, I think... Man, this is hard because I actually do not like Dragonite as a Pokemon at all.
Ooh,
which is a tough challenge for me to overcome here. I like how the kits work now. I think they are both interesting enough. I think the Unite move is sick. It's my favorite part of the Pokemon.
Really?
I love global things like that. I think that's really fun. So I'm gonna say tweak. I think you could tweak Dragonite. I actually don't. You know what? No, I'm going to say freeze. I think we could freeze Dragonite right here, and Dragonite mains would be happy until the end of time. It's not top of the meta. It's not, like, recent patch Metagross broken. It's not everything else. I genuinely feel like both movesets are solid. The Unite move functions well. It does its job better than a lot of other Pokemon on the roster. I genuinely feel like we could have our first freeze candidate. Lock in the D-Knight.
Nice. Yeah, I was honestly surprised. I kind of forgot how much, like, a stacked Hyper Beam does until, I don't know if it was ACL or some of the LG
ACL
tournament, but I was like,
the D-Knight.
Yeah, oh my god. But I think I think I watched TTV lose to a Dragonite. But yeah, I was like, dang. I just kind of forgot Hyper Beam existed and did damage.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I think that will bring us to the end of our podcast episode tonight. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to comment down below. Let us know if we got anything absolutely wrong. What Pokemon would you rework, freeze, or tweak? Give one of each if you really want to help out the show. That would be awesome. Follow us on Unite Mics on Twitter. But, of course, on Twitch is where we do those live episodes. Thank you so much for the support. But before we get out of here, Bridget, is there anything that you want to plug, sell out, shout out? Anything like that?
Nothing crazy. I'm just streaming on Twitch. I am posting on Twitter. That's the big stuff.
Shout out. Sick. All right. Make sure to go follow that Twitter at is...
My name, Bridget, but with a J.
Bridget with
and
a J?
And an underscore at the end. I'm sorry, Dupe Snacks.
You tried your best. You tried your best.
I know.
Kyrios, how about you? Where can people follow you on the internet to see all the LG escapades and everything in between?
Yeah, pretty much just Kyrios on everything except Twitter, and then Twitter is Kyrios underscore Unite. Definitely doing more YouTube streams and trying to make some more YouTube content. That hasn't been like a resolution, kind of.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it'd be really cool to do that. Maybe make some guides. I think that's something I haven't done really at all. I think that'd be really cool. So yeah, we'll try to do that. Make sure to subscribe to YouTube if you're trying to see more of the daily content.
Absolutely. And if you want to say hi to me in that comment section, I'm going to be there because I need that Leafeon guide now. So please, I'm tragic on this Pokemon. As plugs for me and the Unite Mics channel, I've actually been streaming quite a bit more on my twitch.tv/Zoinkscast. Been having a lot of fun over there. We've been doing a lot of VOD reviews of retro tournaments. So if you're interested at all in old school Pokemon Unite, first off, if you're watching this on YouTube, go look at our oldest videos. It's like a giant catalog of old Pokemon Unite tournaments. But I'm also doing a lot of VOD reviews over there on twitch.tv/Zoinkscast. You go follow me there. But then the biggest thing, of course, is January 27th. Unite Mics is running a Pokemon Unite tournament open to EU, North America, LATAM, and Brazil. We are going to be running a tournament called The Run-Up, in which it has a $150 starting prize pool, but that will be increased if anyone wants to buy the coolest shirts in the world. First piece of Pokemon Unite merch created by a community member, I think. Maybe not. Who knows? But anyway, the Hundo Burger t-shirts are now for sale. You can see those on our at Unite Mics Twitter, or if you're on Twitch chat right now, Bridget thankfully put in the command for exclamation mark shirt. You can go check that out. Seriously, they're a really cool piece of merch. They are $30, but we're covering shipping, and literally all of the profits just go to increasing the prize pool for a tournament that's happening the weekend before UCS. So whatever UCS is going to look like, we are hoping that our tournament will imitate that in some way and get players and teams ready for the next season, which is something I'm so pumped about. It's literally around the corner. It's going to be so much fun. So thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode, and we hope to see you next time. But until then, rework, tweak, or freeze. We'll see y'all later.
Bye.